It's time. So today we're going to, have part two of chapters 4 through 24, the judgments against Israel. And so I guess to get started, talk about, I always want, you know, why was there three deportations? Why did it not, why did it take three? Why not just have it, why didn't they just destroy Jerusalem and be done with it? And I guess if you think in modern times, right, in most wars are not ended in a, like World War II ended. I mean, World War II is probably the only one really that ended in total. You know, they demanded unconditional surrender and they got it, right? And they got, but in most cases, no, it's always, you know, it's just a ceasefire. And this is kind of similar, it seems. So the context, after Babylon defeated Egypt in the Battle of Carchemish, Judah became a vassal state under Babylon. Jehoiakim was the king of Judah, and he submitted to Babylon initially. And this is in 605. Nebuchadnezzar took some nobles, including Daniel and other young men, as hostages to ensure Judah's loyalty. So that was really just the beginning of the first. He just submitted, and they took some people away, hoping that would be all there was. And and why was not the end? Judah was still had its king and maintained some autonomy under Babylon's rule. And the second deportation. And this is when Ezekiel is included in deported. After Jehoiakim rebelled, Babylon invaded again. Jehoiakim died, and his son Jehoiachin became king, but ruled for only 3 months before surrendering. And the king Jehoiachin was captured and taken to Babylon, along with thousands of skilled workers, soldiers, and officials. This included Ezekiel and many prominent citizens. So this one's just kind of an upgrade, or depending on your point of view. So it took a lot more people, and really took the heart out of the country, it looks like. And then, okay, this is still the second. Why not the end? Nebuchadnezzar appointed Zedekiah, Jehoiachin's uncle, to be a puppet king to rule Judah under Babylon's oversight. But that wasn't really total destruction. Okay, then Zedekiah eventually rebelled against Babylon, leading Nebuchadnezzar to return and destroy Jerusalem. The temples were destroyed, the walls were torn down, and most of the remaining people were taken into exile. Why the end? There was no king left to rule, and the city itself was in ruins. This marked the complete end of the kingdom of Judah. So that's 586 BC. So now I'll get, to the heart of our lessons, going through the judgments against Israel. And we left off on Ezekiel 15. Didn't really start on this one. And this, the theme of this one is, Jerusalem is like a useless vine, burned and worthless. Because of its rebellion, it will be destroyed. God's judgment is just, as Israel failed to fulfill its divine purpose. So it's good. I mean, it's kind of interesting because you have Ezekiel 15 and John 15, right? John 15 is about branches also, right? But in that case, it's kind of like, it's more positive spin, right? That the disciples are the vines of Jesus. But in this case, it's a negative thing. But I kind of like think Ezekiel 15, John 15, and then I think Genesis 15 is about stars, though, right? It's not about vines. But I always link Genesis 15 to John 15. You know, one's about stars, one's about... So just think 15, you think stars, vines, good and bad. Okay, then we have a couple scriptures to take out of this. Therefore, this is what the Lord God says. As the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so I have given up the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So you think about, in this case, a vine, you can't build anything with it really, right? I mean, how many houses are built with vines? I mean, nobody builds a... Very few, I shouldn't say nobody, but very few people build their house with a vine, right? Because there's nothing there. You know, maybe you could, you know, make some particle board out of it or something these days, but back then, I mean, what could you do? You can make a nice, brush arbor, I guess. You can make a nice arbor, I guess, with vines, but you really can't make a house. Okay, so is that it? Okay. Any questions? Yeah, we don't. Any comments? Anything? Because this is going to go real quick. I'm going to be back where I was before real quick if we don't have any discussion. So I better... We'll get through this real quick. Ezekiel 16, a parable of Israel and an unfaithful wife. God rescued her, but she became a harlot worshiping idols. Despite severe punishment, God promises a future restoration based on his covenant. So it's kind of a mirror of what prophet? Yeah, Hosea. Yeah, it's sort of a mirror of Hosea, where she becomes the, is it Gomer? Becomes the harlot, and let's see, and then here's a verse, I guess kind of a theme verse. But you trusted in your beauty and became unfaithful because of your fame. And you poured out your obscene practices on every passerby to whom it might be tempting. And I guess this is a verse that stuck out to me, nice and short, and gets to the point. Therefore, you prostitute, hear the word of the Lord. That gets to the point, don't it? It's just kind of like, whoa. I like that verse, though. Okay, Ezekiel 17. This is kind of a parable, but it's kind of confusing to me. But I guess it's one of the eagles is Babylon and one is Egypt, and you know, it symbolizes Babylon's power and Israel's rebellion. But it's, anyway, it's a parable, but about those. It's, and here's a verse out of it. So that the kingdom would be humbled, not exalted itself, but keeping his covenant so that it might continue. So it looks like Israel was kind of trying to make deals with Egypt on the side to try to stop, you know, to try to stop everything and stop Babylon. But God was not pleased, and, you know, that instead of relying on God, that, you know, they're trying to rely on a second nation. Ezekiel 18. God declares individual responsibility. Sons don't suffer for the father's sins. The righteous will live. The wicked will die. Repentance brings life, as God desires none to perish. So imagine if you, you know, in the church, right? If you hear anything about Ezekiel, it's going to probably, I guess all I really heard about Ezekiel is the wheel in chapters 1, I guess, and also 10, but and then chapter 18, which talks about individual responsibility. Because we'll all be responsible for our own sins, and then also, I mean, on the other hand, you know, somebody else's good works and righteousness is not going to do anybody else any good either. So we'll all be judged by our own actions, and that's what chapter 18 is about. The person who sins will die. A son will not suffer the punishment for the father's guilt, nor will a father suffer the punishment for the son's guilt. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. And there's a lot of cases where, you know, in the Old Testament where, you know, bystanders or, you know, are kind of, I guess, sucked into the a punishment, you know, a temporal punishment. But when it comes to eternal punishment, when it comes to the last day, it's all going to come down to, you know, what did you do? Were you a wicked person, or did you obey God? And I guess one thing that's kind of amazing is the case of, who's the guy that got swallowed up? No, not Jonah. I mean, swallowed up by the earth. Korah. Yeah, in the case of Korah, you know, that he was so wicked that God just had the earth swallow him up. But yet his children were righteous, and they wrote one of the psalms, the psalm about the deer as a deer. That psalm, I think it's in the early 40s, a psalm. But that's a good, you know, it's a beautiful song. But I mean, that comes from Korah, you know, the very person who got swallowed by the earth. That was written by his sons. Ezekiel 18. Okay, so this is still, for I take no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. So it's kind of like a New Testament. That's kind of something, you know, you kind of hear in the New Testament, right? Is this theme for God takes no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. Therefore, dies eternally, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of an amazing. If you just look at one chapter, you might get the impression, God's all about judgment, but really, if you read the whole book of Ezekiel, we haven't got to, the positive parts of it. There's hints of it, though. Even in the negative parts, like here, there's hints of the positive, right? There's little talking about the branch, and there's hints of the restoration to come, but there's.
We also see God's mercy and the fact he has over and over again warned us and called us back to holiness. He's warned us of our sin and the danger of it and where it's going to lead. If God didn't care, he wouldn't write all that. He wouldn't spend all that time trying to reach out to us with prophets and with other Bible writers, with for us, the Word of God itself. I mean, how much time has God put into trying to call us out of sin? Right? All of that is a demonstration of His grace and mercy and this desire to not see us go to hell. Because otherwise, He could just turn His back and let us fall to our own desires. But the fact He spends all the time, even going back all the way back to Cain, God tried to warn Cain, and even at that time, sin's crouching at the door, you better master it. And so the whole Word of God is a testimony to God's desire for our salvation.
Absolutely. I mean, if God didn't care, why would He write? At first you think, how many chapters is this? 21 chapters in a row. Chapters 4 through 21 are all judgments against Israel. And you're thinking, oh my goodness. maybe God's a big meanie, right? But on the other hand, if God didn't care, why would He write those 21 chapters? Why not just say, and God, and God wiped them out, kind of like He did in the time of Noah. He writes 21 chapters, trying to get people to repent. Okay. Okay, verse 19, chapter 19, Ezekiel 19. A lament for Judah's leaders. Two lion cubs, princes are captured, and a vine, Judah, is uprooted and burned. Israel's fate is sealed due to its ruler's failures. And how did they fail? Well, they didn't turn to God, right? They were just trying to do it all on their own, making deals on the side. Making compromises. And plus, they were sinful to begin with. Ezekiel 19:14. And fire has gone out from its stem. It has consumed its shoots and fruit, so that there is no strong stem in it, a scepter to rule. This is a song of mourning, and has become a song of mourning. Okay, and then we'll go on. Okay. Chapter 20, Israel's rebellion from Egypt onward is recounted. Despite mercy, they disobeyed. Exile is certain, but God's promises eventual restoration. He will rule with a purified people in the future. then you will know, and here's a verse out of it. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have dealt with you in behalf of my name, not according to your evil ways, according to your corrupt deeds. House of Israel, declares the Lord. And then we'll go on. And another verse, all right. And all mankind will see it. And all mankind will see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It will not go out. So did I miss something? Ezekiel 21. God's sword of judgment is drawn against Jerusalem, Babylon, and Ammon. The king of Babylon chooses Jerusalem for destruction. No one will escape, and devastation is certain. Can you imagine being in a situation like that? Has anybody ever been in a country that's just been sort of... I never have. I mean, Sicily was crazy. You know, compared to the U.S., I mean, it was... In Sicily, I mean, if you go to the courthouse in Sicily, I mean, it's surrounded by razor wire. I mean, that's... It's kind of the craziest thing I've seen, you know, just like... But, you know, I mean, they weren't destroyed or anything, but I guess that's maybe the craziest thing I've seen is a courthouse surrounded by razor wire. Then you go to the state police, and it's like a fortress, the state police office. I don't know if in the U.S. or state police, they probably have some... Maybe they got razor wire around it, but it's probably just chain link fence, a little barbed wire, a lot of cameras, but not really, that crazy. But that's even that. That's just, you know, not total destruction of your country. That's, you know, you just have a lot of bad people there, and they have some really bad people there. It was kind of crazy. They like to blow up stuff, like, and kill people. But
this also demonstrates the fact. Verse 3 talks about the fact that he's going to draw a sword and cut off both the righteous and the wicked. You know, you had Daniel and his friends carried off, and they suffered in the captivity, even though they were righteous. But when judgment comes, you know, the judgment of God is against evil, and at times, even people that are not unrighteous end up being caught up in it.
Oh yeah, everybody suffered. Everybody suffered in this. And in the end, we're all going to suffer, right? I mean, if nothing else, well, in most cases, if you live long enough, you know, the end's not going to be nice, right? I mean... And I have heart disease, at least, other stuff wrong. I mean, it's, you know, the last, hopefully I have, you know, about a quarter of my life left. The last quarter of my life left is probably not going to be as much, it's probably not going to be as nice physically as the, you know, the first three quarters. Maybe I have a little more than a quarter left, who knows. But, yeah, I mean, Daniel, in the end, he had it. I mean, basically, he was prime minister at one point, right? He became
Joseph. You got lots of examples. Joseph. You know, he was raised up to be Pharaoh.
Yeah, prime minister also, yeah, basically.
Something else here, too. Verse 5, talking about the sword, he's drawn. He says at the end of verse 5, it shall not be sheathed again. Now, looking historically, we know God has a couple of times relented from the upcoming punishment, like at the time of, I'm forgetting his name, young king. Who? No, Josiah. God says, I'm going to push this back because of Josiah's righteous behavior. I'm going to push this back a little bit. And there have been a few times when God would do that, even with Hezekiah earlier. But, you know, there does come a time when God won't push it back any longer. And judgment is coming. And even, you know, even in the case of where God's had a righteous servant who helped to withstand that judgment for a little while, the judgment was still coming. And eventually God, when the time is completely full, God can no longer look on sin. He's going to send his judgment. And this is just a warning to us.
Yeah.
God does have his limits. God is merciful. God is gracious. But God's judgment will not wait forever.
Thank you. So I guess I like this verse. Son of man, prophesy and say, this is what the Lord says. Say a sword sharpened and also polished. So let's talk about the sword. The sword is coming. And we'll see here in a few chapters, you know, Ezekiel was not spared. And also this verse, I like. You don't hear this verse. I think it's a cool verse. I don't know why it's not more of a popular verse. I think it's got a ring to it. Ruins, ruins, ruins. I will make it. This also will no longer be no longer until he comes, whose right it is, and he will give it to him. But I like that. Ruins, ruins, ruins. It's kind of like in the New Testament, you have, I guess it's three times, Ephesus, you have woe, 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 right? It's, and then you have holy, holy, holy. But here you have ruins, ruins, ruins. Jerusalem sins, bloodshed, idolatry, oppression are listed. God seeks a righteous person to intercede, but finds none. As a result, judgment will consume the city like fire. And it's kind of interesting. All these judgments are against Jerusalem, and where's Ezekiel? Ezekiel's in Babylon. So it's kind of, you know, he knows all this stuff. I guess all these people, all these exiles, they're just kind of listening to Ezekiel to kind of get the news or how news traveled. But then chapter 22, Jerusalem sins, bloodshed, idolatry, oppression are listed. God seeks a righteous person to intercede, but finds none. As a result, judgment will consume the city like fire. And here's a verse I like. I searched for a man among them who would build up a wall and stand in the gap before me for the land. so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. Then you have chapter 23, and you have it's about two immoral sisters that represent Israel and Judah. They commit spiritual adultery with foreign nations, their lovers, Assyria and Babylon, turn against them, bringing destruction. Therefore, this is what the Lord God says, because you have forgotten me and discarded me behind your back, suffer on your own part the punishment for your outrageous sins and your obscene practices. And we're getting close to chapter 24, which is kind of we went over before, but to me it's so sad. Ezekiel is not spared. The parable of the boiling pot signifies Jerusalem's destruction. Ezekiel's wife dies, but he's forbidden to mourn, symbolizing the people's future suffering, where they will be too devastated to grieve. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is 24:14. I, the Lord, have spoken. It is coming, and I will act. I will not overlook. I will not pity. And I will not be sorry. According to your ways, according to your deeds, I will judge, declares the Lord. And here's another one. I, the Lord, have spoken. It is coming up. That's the same one. Okay, 18. 24:18. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died, and in the morning I did as I commanded. And then the end is. I guess I need to point up here then.
No, it's
back
there.
Okay.
It's on 291.
Pardon me?
It's on 21.
Okay. Oops. Okay. Speak to the house of Israel. This is what the Lord God says. Behold, I am about to profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, that which is precious in your eyes. And the longing of your soul, and the sons of your daughters whom you have left behind will fall by the sword. And so both for Ezekiel got personal, both his wife and his children. His wife apparently was with him in Babylon, and his children were back in Jerusalem, but they all died. So these are kind of, I guess, kind of a one word or summaries of these chapters. Ezekiel 4, you have the brick. It's where Ezekiel was kind of playing army men with a brick and some dirt. Then you have that Ezekiel 5 is the hair, where his hair is, he takes a third of his hair and destroys it by burning, shaving, and scattering. I think something else does three things with, you know, his hair. Ezekiel 6, mountains, idolatry is condemned. And chapter 7, doom, the end is near. And chapter 8, a hole, Ezekiel sees, a vision through a hole. And then chapter 9, mark, righteous, the righteous are marked and the others are slain. Then Ezekiel 10, you see, we have the wheels again, but in this case the wheels, you have the glory of God, and you think, oh, you read this chapter and it's cool. You think, you know, you see this image of the glory of God, the four the four creatures with four heads and all that, you know, and they have wheels moving about. And then you just read it and you think, well, that's all neat. And then, but, you know, this, if you don't read that one verse, you got to catch that one verse where it, you know, talks about they're departing, that the glory of God is departing. And it makes it really a sad chapter. chapter or 11 is the heart, a new heart for the remnant. Ezekiel 12, baggage, where Ezekiel acts out being going on a trip. 13, wall, false prophets, flimsy wall. Chapter 14, Noah, the righteous ones can't save the evil. So even though you have Ezekiel and Daniel and others there, the righteous ones will not, they won't save the evil. And then 15, the vine again, it's burned up, no good. 16, you have the harlot, Israel is unfaithful. It's 17, you have eagle, for the parable of the eagles and the vine. In chapter 18, the soul of the ones who sin shall die. Then lion, a lament for Judah's princes. Chapter 20, history, Israel's repeated rebellion. And 21, the ruins. 22, the smelting, impure metal. 23, the sisters that were, you know, unfaithful. And then 24, Ezekiel becomes a widower. His wife dies and his children die. And I guess that's my end. Yeah, we're time. So I guess I'll make a promo for, I guess, starting to wind down on this, my quarter. So I'm going to be got out Memorial Day. But the week before that, I'm going to have a class that guaranteed to be worth it. Okay, it's gonna yeah, don't miss that class. It'll be worth it. It won't be on Ezekiel, but if you miss that class, you're gonna miss something. I guarantee that. Does anybody have anything else? I kind of went quick. It's hard to get these the right length. Yeah, actually this one took 2 weeks, but kind of on the second week. But anyway, I guess going over the outline of Ezekiel, the first three chapters are kind of the introduction, and you have Ezekiel, the commission of Ezekiel, and then here you have chapters 4 through 24, 21 chapters of judgments, just one after another, bang, 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 judgments against Israel, judgments against Judah, just one after another. And then chapters 25 through 32, it's more judgments, but it's against the nation. So it's 25 through 32 are judgments against nations. And after 33 through the end is a more positive note. The judgments are over, and it talks more about restoration. And that's the end of the chapter. And it's kind of the story of you know, of your life. And it's kind of the same way as Psalms. Psalms is that way. If you look at Psalms, the early a lot of Psalms have that theme. They have you know, negative, just despair, and then it turns around and becomes positive in the end. And kind of several stages in there, I forget all the stages. But a lot of Psalms are that way. And then Psalms as a whole is that way. If you look at Psalms as a whole, you know, the earlier chapters, the earlier Psalms are more negative, travails, crying out to God, and the later chapters are more praising God. I find it kind of interesting. Anybody else have anything else?
Interesting point out there, and I've missed most of your classes, which I'm sorry for, but back in 22, verse 30, where he said, God looked for a man to stand in the gap, but found none. It reminds me of the fact that when Moses was leading people out of the promised land, many times God said, stand aside, I'm going to destroy these people. But Moses stood in the gap and pleaded for their behalf. In a real sense, God is going to destroy all the wicked of the world. And it's Jesus that stands in the gap, that is our intermediary, that helps people get past the judgment of God through his mediation. And so you have a real parallel, I think, in Ezekiel, talking about God's struggle with his people and wanting to save them, wanting them to repent, but them not doing so. And then later in 24, he says, Son of man, do not grieve or cry for these people. And that reminds me when God told Aaron not to grieve or cry when he killed Nadab and Abihu. Don't cry for them. Don't grieve for them because they're wicked and they deserve to die. And so sometimes, you know, we want to feel sorry for people, but you can't feel sorry for someone who rebels and continually rebels and rejects God's law. They deserve what they get.
For sure. And that Nadab and Abihu, it's a very good example of the law of exclusion, right? I mean, is that the inclusion and exclusion? If God tells you how to do something in worship, right? But he doesn't tell you to do not do this, right? You know, do not jump over a stick as an act of worship, right? God, you know, it's not in my Bible, you know. It never says in my Bible, you know, do not jump over a stick as part of your worship. But, you know, it's, you know, do not jump over a stick in worship of God. But, you know, somebody can come up and say, you know, well, we'll just jump over a stick. The Bible never says you can't do it. But a lot of the stuff we see in the world today is people do things that are just not authorized. I mean, and some of them are you know, condemned, right? Women preachers, you know, it's happening in the church, women preachers. Preaching in the pulpit for, you know, it's a 180. That's not even don't have to get into the law of exclusion on that. It's actually condemned, and people do it anyway because they think it doesn't apply. You know, we need to just abide by that and just do what God says, nothing more, nothing less. And we'll be fine. It's that simple. We'll just do what the Lord says. I guess let's have a prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we praise your holy name, Father, and we ask your blessings on this congregation and that we can grow and grow closer to you, and that we can help reach out and to the others and in this dying world, Father. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.